Easter is a celebration in the Christian world that is filled with tradition. There's hymns that perhaps some of you have known and sung in church on every Easter Sunday for as long as you can remember. There's the Easter greeting in which one person declares, "He is risen," and all others respond, "He is risen indeed." There's the reading of the Easter story that comes from Matthew 28 or Luke 24 or John 20. There's decorations of lilies and other blooming flowers. Some of us have cherished family traditions on Easter. We all go to grandma's house for ham dinner. We dress up in new Sunday clothes for Easter church. We snack on chocolate bunnies and jelly beans. Well, there's a reason for all of these traditions. Easter is a celebration. It ought to be marked and celebrated as a special day apart from all others. Yet, much of that tradition feels out of place this year, doesn't it? Let's admit it. Let's be honest. It doesn't feel much like Easter Sunday this time around for those of us who've maybe marked this special day as something endearing with these traditions that have lasted for as long as we can remember. Easter feels different this year. And maybe the loss of some of those special traditional ways of commemorating Easter is a cause of sadness for many of us. It feels out of place this year. I mean, I know it's Easter, but something is just not quite right about it. So perhaps this Easter is a good time for us to pause for a moment and consider what that very first Easter Sunday might have felt like. Because I think this time we have maybe more in common with the feeling of that first Easter Sunday as it might have been felt and experienced by the disciples and those closest followers of Jesus. That out of placeness and that feeling that something's not quite right about stay-at-home Easter this year maybe gives us a closer glimpse of what that very first Easter Sunday was like. Listen to the way that Mark tells it in his gospel. This is from Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint the body of Jesus. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robes sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Mark is one of my favorites, one of my favorite gospels. I like Mark's concise writing style. He keeps the action moving. Mark's version of Easter morning is often ignored in many church Easter service readings. I mean, it's kind of jarring and incomplete. The conclusion of the story seems uncertain and left hanging, and I think Mark does this on purpose. Our logical minds crave a neat and tidy closure to every tense disruption, and it bothers us when a question is left unresolved. But Mark leaves us standing at the scene by the open tomb with some women who are scared and confused and who run away without telling anyone because they're so afraid. Imagine the scene. The women enter the tomb, expecting there to find Jesus' crucified body, and instead they see this young man who tells them Jesus has risen. The angel gives them just one instruction: go tell the disciples. But the women don't do that. Mark says they run away and they don't tell anyone. Mark tells us that the first reaction of those first people on that first Easter is to run away. They're messing up the tradition. That's not how the story goes. The Easter tradition is when someone meets you on Easter Sunday and tells you he is risen, you are supposed to respond with, "He is risen indeed," not run away. I think Mark needs to rewrite the ending here. The women enter the tomb, the angel tells them he is risen, the women enthusiastically respond in unison together, "He is risen indeed." And then the women parade all through town singing, "Christ the Lord is risen today." Then they gather with all the disciples and they share this fantastic ham dinner. Never mind that they're all Jewish and they don't eat ham. But that's how the Easter story is supposed to go, because that's how I've experienced the Easter story for as long as I can remember. But not this time. Not this year. So maybe this time we can actually feel something of what those women really felt. Mark tells us in verse 8 that they were trembling and bewildered. Some English translations say that they were amazed or astonished. It's the Greek word ekstasis. We get the English word ecstasy or ecstatic from that same Greek word. And we've missed what the Greeks originally meant by this word, because we usually think of ecstatic behavior as enthusiastic or excited. But the Greek understanding of ecstasis means confused or perplexed. In fact, ecstasis literally refers to something that is so distressing that it causes this sort of out-of-body experience. It is the Greek notion of ecstasis, then, where we get the expression of being beside oneself, right? To be beside yourself is to be so overcome with anxiety or worry that you can no longer process and respond to the situation that's right in front of you. It's to be left in this place that's so confusing and so perplexing that your whole world feels out of place. That's what these first women experienced. That's what that first Easter felt like. They heard the message, "He is risen," and their first reaction was this overwhelming feeling that this is all wrong. This whole thing is out of place. This is not how this is supposed to be happening right now. The world is so turned upside down that I'm just beside myself. I don't even know how I'm supposed to be feeling about any of this. Do you see a glimpse of that today? Maybe today we catch this resurrection story with that same off-balance, out-of-place, unprepared moment that hit those first followers of Jesus. Because we're living in a world right now that has been hit with a moment of being off balance and unprepared. We're living in a world right now that's been forced to adjust to some new and different kind of living. We are living in a world right now that's been wading through an ocean of confusion, just trying to figure out what the next step forward should be. We are all living in a world right now that can perhaps reframe the gospel news of resurrection to see it in a new light. Resurrection is a better name for it. We call it Easter Sunday, but really we should call it Resurrection Sunday, because resurrection is what this day is really all about. And whatever it was we thought we knew about resurrection, maybe today is a good time to take in that story and see it again. See it with fresh eyes, because I have to confess, it seems like the way that gospel resurrection news has shown up in the actions of my life is by singing a few Easter songs, and then we all go to grandma's and eat ham. When in fact, gospel resurrection news ought to leave me shocked. Shocked to the point of being beside myself. Shocked to the point of my whole world is turned upside down. Resurrection ought to throw my life so out of place that nothing ever seems the same again. Resurrection ought to jolt my life so hard that anything I might have considered normal life before is long gone now. Resurrection means that there's a new way to live now. It means that everything about the way I live is now taken and reframed so that the whole world is changed. It's different. When news which is that completely world-changing hits, I suppose it makes sense to me that the first reactions are confusion and disbelief. Our minds need some time to take that all in. That kind of life-changing, world-altering news has to sink in for a while. I think Mark ends his gospel that way on purpose. He knows that this world-changing resurrection of Jesus needs some time and space to really sink in. In the M. Night Shyamalan movie, The Sixth Sense, Bruce Willis plays a psychologist who's trying to help a young boy who's able to talk with dead people. It's not till the end of the movie that Bruce Willis's character realizes that he is one of those dead people, and he doesn't even know it. It makes me want to go back and watch the whole movie over again from the start, because now, with this twist that comes at the end of the story, it reshapes everything else. I go back and I see the whole thing differently again, and I see the whole story differently again. That's what Mark is doing with this twist ending to his gospel. He leaves us in such a jarring place that now we are compelled to go back and read the whole story again from the beginning, because now it's all different. Now, with this new information that comes at the end, the way that we see the whole rest of the story is completely changed. And it doesn't stop there. Now, it's not just the Gospels, but now we look back and we see all those other writings of the Old Testament differently. We see all of that in a new light. Everything we once thought that we knew about the story of God and our lives are different now. The world is different now. Resurrection changes everything. It changes my whole life. It changes the whole world. And that takes some getting used to. Resurrection news hit those first followers of Jesus pretty hard, and it rocked their world apart. Maybe resurrection news should hit us like that too. Maybe our first reaction to resurrection news should be an off-balance, out-of-place, this-doesn't-feel-right kind of moment. A moment in which it only begins to sink in on us that, wow, our whole world has just been thrown into an entirely new direction. And then you and I sit back and we start to see everything else in our world with new eyes. There's a new reality, a new normal that's taking over. The first seed of resurrection that was planted on Friday when Jesus was placed in a tomb is now become the first bloom of resurrection, burst from the ground when that tomb burst open on Resurrection Sunday. A new season is dawning, a resurrection season. It's already begun. Nothing can stop it now. The resurrection of Jesus means that our world will never be the same again. Resurrection is not just something that happens around us. Resurrection's not just something that happens to us, but resurrection happens within us. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray together. God, we come to you on this Easter Resurrection Sunday, and we celebrate that you are risen. But Lord, we also confess this is news that for some of us has not knocked our world out of place. It has not reframed for us a whole new way of seeing who we are and what the world around us is all about. Lord, may that story be fresh for us again today in a way that shows us and reminds us that you and your resurrection have changed everything about who we are and about the world around us. And Lord, may we never be the same again with the new life that we celebrate that we have in you today. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Wherever you are today, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.